Blog Talk Radio.
Don't believe what you know to be true.
What's going on?
There's no such thing as common sense.
What's happening?
Science isn't about facts. It's about believing what you can believe.
Somebody tell me!
Facts of Life Radio, where we see that in their quest to sow confusion, hate, and discontent around the country, the left has tried to make it so that some simple, well-understood words now mean something completely different from what they've always meant. But here, there are some words that the meaning of will never change. You know what words I'm talking about. Personal liberty, personal responsibility, and personal accountability. I am, as always, your host, the Chief, coming to you from the hidden bunker in an undisclosed location somewhere in the vicinity of Portland, Oregon. And if you'd like to join the show, the number here is 949-272-9588. Now, I've got some things I want to talk about, but first, we have some breaking news I have to mention. It seems that Joe Biden has actually finally announced his running mate. It will be California Senator Kamala Harris. Now, the big news about this is pronounced her name Kamala, and now they're saying Kamala. So, hey, you learned something new. Questions? Whose desk did she have to crawl under to get that particular job? We know whose desk she crawled under to get some of her previous jobs. Yeah, Willie Brown, the mayor of San Francisco and former Assembly Speaker of California. But, wow, this is interesting because Senator Harris had some pretty nasty things to say about Joe Biden, you know, during the debates and such. And, well, there's a lot of history of that sort of thing. I can remember all the way back to the nastiness between John Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson, and then they made nice until Johnson had Kennedy whacked so he could be president. And later on, of course, there was George Bush and referring to Ronald Reagan and his voodoo economics, but they made nice. And so, okay, all well and good. I just saw this a few minutes ago, so I didn't really have a whole lot that I wanted to say about it, except I did not see exactly how this announcement was made. If anybody knows, if Joe get up and make a statement, or was it a press release? And because that's something I may get to later on. I have a few different things I want to talk about. But one of them has to do with Joe Biden. And if he actually got up and made a speech, and sounded reasonably lucid, it might undercut some of what I might talk about. We'll see if I even get that far. Because there are some things I did want to start out with that I put in the show notes. And one of them refers to something I actually had. This is not new. I saw this a week ago. I actually had it on my list of things I might talk about if I had time last week. But, you know, as per usual, I ended up rambling on and on, sort of like I'm doing right now, and I didn't get to it. But, okay, what it was is there was an article I saw about in Chicago, you know, because we've seen a lot of the statues are being removed. People want to remove monuments, all that sort, you know, things are defaced, all this. Well, some leaders in Chicago are trying to do the same thing in education in the state of Illinois. Some Chicago leaders demanded that the Illinois State Board of Education stop teaching history until a suitable alternative is developed. You know, state representative LaShawn K. Ford argued the current curriculum and materials unfairly communicate history, which leads to white privilege and a racist society. When it comes to teaching history in Illinois, we need to end the miseducation of Illinoisans. I'm calling on the Illinois State Board of Education and local school districts to take immediate action by removing current history books and curriculum practices that unfairly communicate our history. Until a suitable alternative is developed, we should instead devote greater attention towards civics and ensuring students understand our democratic processes, how they can be involved. Yeah, okay. I won't go on with that. Does this sound like something we might have heard from George Orwell? The Ministry of Truth? History has to be taught. History has to be reported as whatever is convenient. What happened is irrelevant. We can rewrite it. If we're at war with one country and suddenly they become our allies, we rewrite the history. We were never at war with them. They were always our allies. Our former allies were always our enemies. That's how Orwell saw it. It's kind of what I'm seeing here. Now, when I thought about all this, I mean, I've often reminded people that I'm a person who is not burdened with the ability to think like a normal human being. So this whole little thing led me on kind of a bizarre train of thought with a few stops, you know, before I got to the final station. But I want to, you know, seeing as we're talking about Orwell and Newspeak and everything, the end will be the beginning. I want to start with the final destination where this brought me, and then maybe we'll circle back to some other things that I thought about along the way that got me there. But what this led me to was how our language is being totally corrupted. Newspeak is being promulgated by the left in this country so that words that we used to understand the meaning of, the meanings are different. What really got to me and what I'm seeing a lot of is two words that we used to all understand, but the meanings seem to have been reversed. The words are speech and violence. Now, does anybody remember the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, and go, you know the thing? If someone commits violence against you, I mean actual violence, you know, knocks you upside the head with a tire iron, shoots you in the face, just punches you out, whatever it is, actual violence, destroys your property, whatever. They've taken something from you. Your health, your property, your peace. They've taken something from you because they asserted the power to take it from you. If somebody punches you out, it probably means they were bigger than you, better fighter. They had the power. You did not have the power to resist. You were the victim of violence, actual violence. You didn't give them the power to take that. But here's a simple fact of life for you. If words are violence, the only way that can hurt you is if you give them the power to allow yourself to be hurt. You have to allow them to hurt you with words, because if you just let it roll off, don't take it seriously, you're not hurt. They have no power over you other than the power you give them, as opposed to physical violence where they take the power. Now, I'm kind of a, you know, mind my own business, but I've had cases where people have just tried to get a rise out of me. They just wanted to fight. They wanted somebody to fight with. I remember back in 1977, something like that, some guy was just all this, yo mama this and everything, in some bar in Hong Kong. And the guys with me just did not understand why I didn't get all upset. Well, here's the thing about me. The only people that can insult me are people that actually know me. I knew this guy didn't know anything about me. Certainly knew nothing about my mama. He was just talking stupid. Didn't bother me. Some people didn't understand how I could let it go. Now, of course, in the end, a fight ensued when his buddy just came up while I was, you know, pretending to listen to this other guy. His buddy came up and sucker punched me, and yeah, kind of Antifa kind of tack. But still in all, you can't insult me if you don't know me. Only people that know me can insult me, because they know me, and maybe it rings true. But even in that case, just words are not violence. But according to the left, oh, I'm triggered. You have committed verbal violence against me. Now consider the other side of this. Nowadays, well, I see it a lot in Portland, Seattle, a lot of other places, there is actual violence going on. We're talking about people getting physically hurt. We're talking about property destruction, people being attacked, firebombs thrown at buildings. Something, you know, the sort of thing that in ordinary, simple English, we would call violence. Nowadays, No, it's speech. Violence has become speech. Now, I mean, remember, I don't know, a couple of years ago, something, I think it was Baltimore, and the mayor said, we have to give these people space. They have grievances, so, yeah, let them break into the stores and walk out with some TVs, whatever, because it's protesting. It's speech. Violence is speech. Speech is violence. This is Newspeak. And brought to you, George Orwell. Now, another thing, you know, that was kind of where it all led me. But one of the stops along the way, we're talking about rewriting history and statues of monuments, that sort of thing, what's going on, trying to control our speech, what we think. Does that sound familiar? Does anybody remember ISIS? Yeah, you know, Barack Obama's buddies over there, the JV, and what they did, how they removed statues. Remember in Afghanistan, they had those 1,500-year-old Buddha statues? Taliban didn't like it because it didn't conform to their view of history. Anything that happened before the prophet walked the earth and handed down God's law was blasphemy, idolatry. Can't have it. History had to be erased. Well, we're seeing that today in the United States. The Ministry of Truth, also known as the mainstream media, is acting as though history started yesterday. What happened in the past doesn't matter. Orange man bad. So, President Trump issues some executive orders because, you know, to help with the coronavirus relief, you know, tax deferment, student loan deferment, that sort of thing. Whatever you think about those, and I'm not a big fan of that sort of thing, but the people on the left were just condemning it because Trump did it. Oh, can you imagine? Oh, you know, clutching your pearls, everything like that. And because they just could not understand when President Trump said, if Congress won't act, I will. I have a pen. I have a phone. I'm going to make this happen. Oh, wait a minute. That wasn't President Trump that said that. That was Barack Obama. But it was fine then because black man good, orange man bad. What happened before doesn't matter. The only thing, history started yesterday. The history of executive orders started when Trump started issuing them. I mean, things like the Emancipation Proclamation, executive orders like that. It don't matter. Executive orders are now bad because of who the executive is. So, the left has taken it to the point of where they have to remove anything that anybody finds offensive. Another little, when I was thinking about this, another stop on, you know, intermediate station on my train of thought. Remember when all this kit was going on, it wasn't too long ago, a few weeks, I actually heard some people talking about we have to rename the city of Columbus, Ohio, because it was named after some racist, colonialist, old exploiter of the wonderful, noble, indigenous people that were here on the continent of North America, which Columbus, I don't think, ever actually visited. He got to a few islands in the Bahamas or something. But nonetheless, we have to rename Columbus, Ohio, because of who it was named after. And this just got me to thinking, do you realize that only 20 or so miles north of where I am sitting at this very moment, there is an entire state of this union which is named after someone whose only accomplishment was that he owned slaves. Didn't do anything else. He was a slave owner, and they named a whole state after him. In case you didn't know, they put his picture on their state flag. Ah, nope, can't have that. They need to rename that state, because state of Washington, no good. We have to have something less offensive, more inclusive. So what can we rename? Well, how about we just call it the State of Floyd? Because, hey, then you can name it after a state, you know, after somebody named George, who actually made a real contribution to this country. He brought about the social awareness and police brutality. They should name this. No, that ain't gonna. We know that ain't gonna work. What can they name it? Maybe something more in tune with their culture up there. This is it. They should rename the state of Washington. They should rename it Louisiana. After what almost became their official state song, Louie Louie by the Kingsmen. It's people I knew from up there. They actually had a referendum for a state song, and that's what won, Louie Louie. Louisiana is not going to work, because that name is already taken by some other state named after some French king who, you know, also exploited the poor downtrodden people. So, okay, I don't know. Wait a minute. I see that Tim Tapp is in the chat room, and he will be coming up here in about 35 minutes from now. So listen to there, but I want to give my – Tim has got the solution. We should rename the state – Washington. There was nobody named Washington. He didn't own any slaves. Now, George Washington, he had slaves. Washington, perfectly good. So, thank you, Tim. You have solved the problem. But, you know, it's not just Washington. There's all kinds of other states that really need to rethink their name. How about this? Virginia? In case you don't know where that name came from, it was named after the Virgin Queen Elizabeth I, colonial exploiter of the... Yeah. Now, can't have Virginia. You got to change that name. I don't know. How about Montana? Is that a good name for a state? I mean... Yeah, they got lots of mountains, but the eastern part of the state is prairie. No, don't they feel triggered over there in Glendive, you know, and out there but close to North Dakota, out there on the prairie? There's no mountains near there. Come on. Got to be a little more inclusive. What about Utah? I mean, the Mormons came and culturally appropriated the Ute Indian tribe. And I mean, don't even get me started on Indiana. How racist is that? I mean, shouldn't they at least, if they have to do it, change it to Native Americana or something like that? And Tim, what about your state? Tennessee. Now, I think there are just too many E's in the name of that state. It's not diverse enough. You know, you need a name with lots of different letters kind of to show diversity, because as we all know, diversity is our strength. So, I mean, maybe you should start a something to name your state after, you know, I don't know, a bunch of random. How about LGBTQ? You know, there's a bunch of random, very inclusive letters. I mean, you can put any other letters you want, as long as there's not a W and a P in there, because then it would only be about white power. I really wonder how the city of West Peoria gets by these days. Seriously. But, you know, what about Pennsylvania? I mean, it's named after some white guy. And speaking of the colonial oppressors, New York, New Jersey, New Hampshire, these were all named after places in England. I mean, and you know, the English people came to North America for no purpose other than to oppress the indigenous tribes. So, yeah. Well, the good news is, here in Oregon, we don't have that problem. Because nobody knows where the name of this state came from. Actually, I read somewhere where it came from. I don't remember. But I do remember, many decades ago, I was reading this thing about the origin of the names of the states. And when it got to Oregon, it just said, origin unknown. Nobody even knew why they called this place Oregon. But okay. I only mention that just so that people know how to pronounce it. Like I mentioned Washington. Yes, Tim, I'm talking to you. It's pronounced Oregon, not Oregon. But nonetheless. Okay. Oh, boy, I've rambled on and on. I did want to talk a little bit about Joe Biden. I don't have a lot of time here. Like I said earlier at the top of the show, I don't know how he made the announcement, but I brought up this point in a couple chat rooms, some shows, and maybe it's just me because I'm geographically challenged. I'm over here on the left coast, and I'm not an early riser by any means. Did Joe actually get up and make a speech and bring her out, or was it a press release? Because it always seems to me that I have never seen Joe Biden since the Democratic debates say anything during the time that I was up and about. Everything that comes from him, I read about after the fact, you know, when I turn on my computer or something. And I'm just wondering, you know, they're making all kinds of reasons why he shouldn't debate because he doesn't want to have to rebut Trump's lies and all these lame things. But I just wonder, is Joe Biden, we know he's pretty senile. Is he sundowning? Is he even functional after the sun goes down? I'm just wondering, you know, a lot of people who are suffering from that sort of thing can actually be pretty lucid, functional, actually accomplish some stuff early in the day. But once the sun goes down, they're history. So, who do you want taking that call at 3 a.m.? Who do you want taking the call at 6 p.m.? And I'm out of time, so I'm out of time.